Hey, welcome back to a very special edition of Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, San Antonio Spurs writer. And with me once again is James Pledger from ESPN San Antonio's Saturday morning hangover. So we're just gonna dive right into it. By now, you already know the big breaking news that just happened moments ago. Popovich announced that LaMarcus Aldridge and the Spurs have mutually agreed to part ways. That's right. The LMA era is over in San Antonio. Some quick words before we hear from Popovich. Real fast, James, I'm bringing you on because this is an emergency situation here. We're locked on Spurs.
Bonus initial.
We got bonus pledge here. So, Pledger, thank you for taking time out on this recap of what's going on right now. Obviously, this is just the beginning. We don't know what's going to happen. Popovich did say that they're exploring opportunities for him. And of course, you know, him and his camp are going to do the same thing too. Not too shocking. I think it's just the fact that it happened. I think that's what stunned me first. But the writing was on the wall, wasn't it?
The writing was on the wall. He had already moved to the bench, and we kind of figured he wouldn't be as interested in doing that as some other players might be, feeling he probably still has a lot left to offer. And Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN NBA Insider says they're working on trade scenarios with LaMarcus and being engaged on several fronts. So there's a couple of ways that this could play out. He could be traded sometime between now and the March 25th trade deadline, or much like they did last year with Damari Carroll, or the year before with Damari Carroll, agree to a buyout by that at that point. And those are really the only two options I can see that are on the table at this point. So they will either mutually part ways, or they will send him to a destination in which it feels like LaMarcus would want to go. So it feels like they're working with teams in which LaMarcus is like, yeah, that's kind of a place I would like to be.
They're all moving forward. And I think that moving forward thought pretty much happened last year at the bubble, James. I think that's when people started to notice that, yeah, this team plays a lot better considering the makeup of the roster, where this team wants to go moving forward, the youth movement, and what the NBA is about nowadays. It's up and down, fast paced. LaMarcus Aldridge is not that. So I think maybe the seeds of this happened last year, James.
Yeah, and we talked about it even prior to the bubble. We talked about it prior to the shutdown when LaMarcus was out and Trey Lyles was starting for him. Trey looked really good with that unit, running, spreading the floor. And we wondered going into the bubble before Trey got appendicitis, like, this could be really big for Trey Lyles because he filled in very, very well when LaMarcus Aldridge was out last season before eventually having to undergo shoulder surgery.
Is this a situation that where when he was signed in 2015 as a free agent, that there was the thought of he's going to be paired with Kawhi Leonard? He's the next, you know, we're going to have our 1-2 punch moving forward. And then it started to shift into, well, no, maybe Kawhi is a lot better than we thought. It just feels to me that since he became a Spur, it's almost he's been a victim of circumstance.
Yeah, I mean, LaMarcus hasn't had the greatest Spurs career, if you think about it. In his six seasons, what, they either were knocked out in the first round or missed the playoffs altogether for the first time in franchise history four times, and only one made one real legitimate run while he was with the San Antonio Spurs.
You look at LaMarcus Aldridge and what he's done in his time in San Antonio, about 6 years now. His career averages with San Antonio is not too shabby at all. He's averaged 19.5 points per game, 8.0 rebounds, and shot 51% from the field. You fast forward to this season, and it hasn't really been those type of numbers at all. One double-figure rebounding game. His commitment to the whole, I'm going to be a three-point shooting big, hasn't really paid off. And then he had the illness, and he had the surgery, kept him out of the bubble. Do you expect, because Popovich pretty much said it, they're going to look at other opportunities for him. You read the report from Wojnarowski, that the Spurs are going to get a haul or not going to get a haul. Where do you see the value in Aldridge right now if a trade does go down? Because you're right, they could just simply buy him out.
It's not going to be big. I wouldn't expect anything large in return for LaMarcus Aldridge. You're looking at matching a salary to a certain extent. Maybe if you're taking on a deal that's not expiring, you could get a first round pick in return. But outside of that, I wouldn't expect very much as you're trading a LaMarcus Aldridge, because he's far from what he was in his prime. And while he's adjusted his game, it's not like his game is what someone would be willing to break the bank to give up, much like a Vucevic. Right.
And you add the fact, too, that he's no longer a spring chicken for NBA standards. He isn't in the mold of what the other bigs in the West or the East are. You know, he's not a Joker. He's not an Anthony Davis. He's not a Vucevic. He's not a Rudy Gobert defensive beast. So, yeah, I can see where, you know, any potential trade, that other team and their GM and, you know, their camp would be like, yeah, you know, well, LaMarcus is good. Yeah, when he was in Portland and maybe early in San Antonio, but he's not that anymore. Is this also a situation where the Spurs are moving forward? And of course, it's mutually agreed, according to Popovich, that, yeah, they're going to get something now instead of nothing should he have stayed on the roster and finish out his final year. I mean, they're going to get something now. I mean, I guess that's the best case scenario for both sides right now.
I mean, they're going to get something for him. I don't know exactly how much it's going to be or what your expectations should be. But in terms of moving a LaMarcus Aldridge, you're looking for a situation for a team that's looking for kind of a secondary scorer, a guy that can kind of take some of the focus off of a, you know, kind of isolated scorer for someone. So you look at teams that could use help in the terms of the way that LaMarcus offers it. Boston makes sense.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt you here.
More scoring.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt you here, but things are just very fluid right now. You mentioned the Wojnarowski report that the Spurs are, you know, they're being active right now trying to move them. Mm-hmm. There's another report that the Miami Heat are now rising up as one of the several teams.
Yep.
Discussing trade scenarios with the Spurs for LaMarcus Aldridge. He's going to land in a spot, and he may land on a very, very good team, a team that's looking for that one vet to push him over the hump, like a Miami. If he's moved, which all signs are indicating that's probably going to happen, although we don't know anything right now because it's just this announcement just happened. Is this a situation where, hey, Spurs, you got to stop with this whole, we cannot trade within the conference. And if it's the Lakers or the Clippers, no, we don't do that with those guys. The Spurs are going to have to just deal with anybody. I don't care if they're West or the East, James.
Well, and part of it is because of the way that Pop parsed it. It sounds like LaMarcus has a big say in where he ends up and where he doesn't end up. So finding him an opportunity is going to, if LaMarcus, if there are a handful of deals on the table and he likes one more than the other, that might be where they go, or they give him, like, narrow it down to two or three and we'll pick what we think is the best of that. But it's not going to be like we're going to ship him off to Toronto because he's made our lives hard they did with Kawhi, and be like, we're going to keep you from wherever you truly want to go for as long as possible. Now, this seems more amicable in terms of, we're going to try and find what's best for you, LaMarcus, and as long as it also benefits us in some way.
We're talking with James Pledger, ESPN San Antonio's co-host of the Saturday Morning Hangover, talking about the breaking news that Popovich just announced just moments ago that LaMarcus Aldridge and the Spurs have parted ways. Make sure to follow James on Twitter at IamPledger. And of course, ESPN San Antonio at ESPNSA or underscore SA, excuse me. James, LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, kudos to him, you know, in this, what now is his final year in San Antonio, in maybe a matter of weeks now or days with the trade deadline coming up. For the most part, he's been a good soldier. He had that early bump in the road where he demanded out of San Antonio. Popovich had to talk him off the ledge. But ever since that, you know, coming in, I mean, doing his work, everything, how would his time in San Antonio be remembered?
underwhelming.
Fair enough.
I think there were huge expectations placed upon him being the first really big free agent that San Antonio has ever netted.
And having to follow up an act like Tim Duncan. I mean, I think that was...
Well, he was brought to pair with Tim Duncan for the final years of his career and then kind of take the torch from there. But what's the old saying? You don't want to be the guy that replaces the guy. You want to be the guy that replaces the guy that replaced the guy. So being the guy that kind of takes over after Tim Duncan, that was hard. And then you lose who was supposed to be the next big guy in San Antonio and Kawhi while he's here. And it all just kind of feeds into the narrative that nothing worked out the way they intended with LaMarcus Aldridge while he was with the San Antonio Spurs. And to be fair, while he did put up some good numbers and do some things while he was here, the expectations in San Antonio were set really high by the three previous guys that are now all up in the rafters. And that's a hard thing to live up to.
That's very hard. Yeah. And, when Aldridge and Kawhi shared the floor, it definitely felt that he was going to be the second fiddle. You saw it. If it wasn't for maybe that one series against the Warriors, or was it the Thunder, excuse me, where Aldridge was just unstoppable. Outside of that, I really, you know, underwhelming is perhaps the best description for him. And again, he came to San Antonio in a point of his career where the NBA was transitioning. They were going small, positionless basketball, excuse me.
And the Spurs were fighting that tooth and nail.
They did not want to go. They wanted to buck the system. You know, no, we still need four down.
We can still do this with defense, inside out.
Yeah. And you're seeing the change right now, even with Popovich, when he talks about, you know, we need to get the 3-point shots up more, you know, pick a player. And they always say, you know, the Pop stresses that we cannot pass up 3-point shots and, you know, scoring, and that times are changing. And unfortunately, Aldridge is it safe to say a relic, or do you think he could still fit somewhere on a different NBA team?
I think there's a fit for him. It's going to be a minimal fit. It's not going to be what he was when he was in his prime, but he's proved here in San Antonio, especially this year, there are times when he can take over a ball game. I mean, we've seen him go off on certain nights and everything's working and he can get you 20 points. And that's a really good second or third option for another team. But San Antonio is looking to get those opportunities into the hands of other players. Right now, they're looking to get those touches into DeJounte Murray's hands. DeMar's taking over games when he has to. You're trying to get more minutes for Devin Vassell. You're trying to work these guys back into the program. You're trying to figure out where Lonnie fits in all of this. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are so many different things that the Spurs are trying to figure out. And now they're trying to figure out how to find more minutes for Luka Samanić and possibly Trey Jones here down the stretch. So right. I get what they're doing in terms of, all right, this was great while it was lasted. You were a great soldier while you were here in San Antonio. You did everything properly and, you know, nothing went through the media and everything you did was exactly the way it should have been handled, even when you were upset. But it is now time that we are fully embracing this new movement and we're seeing some things from some other guys and we need to try and get them minutes as well. And while moving you to the bench was part of it because of the way Jakob's playing defensively and entering him into the starting lineup, we need to start finding out about these other guys as well while we're here, because we're kind of a pivotal point for the Spurs, where they're at seventh in the West currently going into the game tonight. And it can go either way in the second half in which they're not going to have a whole lot of practice time. And so Pop's fully embracing it. He is ripping the Band-Aid off finally, it looks like. And they're going to move forward with this group of young guys in possibly trading LaMarcus or maybe using that and a couple other pieces to swing for a bigger name and revamp the roster on the fly like that, because this is changing the wheels on a tire going 55 miles an hour. Yeah. And they're just going to see how it plays out. And part of that's exciting as a Spurs fan. Like, we don't know what they're going to do. For once, we don't know. And it's not in the dark in terms of, oh, there's no trade rumors, but, you know, what about this? What about that? And then nothing happens. I expect something to happen this year. This year, it feels like the Spurs are fully embracing what we've been talking about for the last couple of years on Locked On Spurs with you and me, which is rip the Band-Aid off and let's go.
Yeah, the Spurs won 6 of 8 games that LaMarcus sat out going into the All-Star break. So they're fine without him. They've proven that in the bubble. They've proven that this year. You mentioned Poeltl, you know, stepping in and stepping up of late ever since that rocky start. Trey Lyles is starting to come on a little bit. And you're seeing that Drew Eubanks is going to get some opportunity now. But let's shift to a name that you just mentioned right now, Luka Šamanić. You know, he's coming on slowly but surely. You know, in my opinion, my personal jury is still out on him. We have a good little sample size, but you know, okay, Luka, you're on the right path. Let's see what you do. Is he kind of the next to be looked at as, okay, you're young, you fit that power forward role. Let's see what you got, Luka. Now's your time.
Yeah, I mean, you saw it when he first got called up. His usage rate, as it increased, so did his production. And so I think their thought process is, well, much like in Austin, we've got to give him more opportunities to really get a fair assessment of who Luka Šamanić is as we move forward. And I was ready to write him off early. And he, in both the G League and here of late with the San Antonio Spurs themselves, had at least given me pause to reconsider what I had initially thought about him. And the sandwich has officially started to at least pique my curiosity and at least put a pause on my narrative.
Yeah, I think this is a situation where the Spurs bigs that are remaining, Poeltl, Šamanić, Lyles, and Eubanks, they're definitely going to have to be holding down the fort, so to speak, until something happens. James, do you think that the Spurs, you know, will just simply let them walk? Do you think that perhaps is a situation we know it's on the table, but is that the worst case scenario for San Antonio? Just cut them and wave them and good luck to you, whoever picks you up. Because then the Spurs are really left empty handed.
Yeah, but I mean, it feels like that's the way that they're going to go. But it does feel like there is legitimate interest out there. You've mentioned the Heat, and it feels like from Woj's tweet that there are multiple teams that are checking in and at least kicking the tires on LaMarcus Aldridge. So there is some value perceived around the league and what he can bring to a team. So with that, you have to at least hold a little bit of cautious optimism that they are going to work out a deal of some sort and get something in return.
Yeah.
I don't know what that may be, but I don't know if a buyout is around the bend unless nothing materializes by the trade deadline.
And I think that is in this situation, the final move you'd make. If just nothing materializes, then you know you got to let this guy go. Now you really got to let him go by the trade deadline, and that's the only way to do it. Now this season, he averaged 13.7 points per game, 4.5 rebounds per game, shooting 46% from the floor and 36% from the 3-point range. Those are good numbers.
They're not bad.
They're not bad. But you know, again, you're still probably not going to get a haul if you're a Spurs fan thinking that's going to happen. Because, you know, he is up in age. He's at, 35, 36. The twilight of his career is here. Maybe he'll be rejuvenated.
The most intriguing thing that he offers is offensive ability paired with an expiring contract.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that expiring contract is perhaps the biggest bullet in the Spurs weapon when you're dealing with the teams right now. Is, hey, we're giving you a massive, contract that's going to be expiring. So hopefully they can parlay that into something. we talked about it on Locked On Spurs before. You're very vocal about it online and social media, but does the Vucevic rumor, does that get more fire in your eyes? Does that raise the flag more for you saying, Orlando?
Not so much for Vucevic, okay, unless you're able to parlay it into a three-team trade of some sort.
Okay.
If you're able to three-team your way with LaMarcus getting him where he wants to go, because I doubt Orlando is high on his list of priorities. I could be wrong, but in the grand scheme of things, I'm not sure LaMarcus Aldridge would want to be in Orlando unless he's just looking to get playing time and minutes, and therefore Vucevic leaving would obviously open that up for him down there. And with a cast around him, he would take on a big part of at least scoring within that team. And then they'd have an expiring contract coming off the books for a team that probably doesn't want to be over the luxury tax threshold.
Well, first of all, I was just shocked when I was on the call and Pop made that announcement. Yeah. I knew something was up because Pop is very punctual. If it says 7 o'clock that he's going to do his media session, it's 7 o'clock and not a minute or two late. He was late for this one. So right away, that was a red flag for me. And then when he finally showed up, he was asked about LMA because the Spurs had just announced that he was going to be out again. And then that's when they introduced Pop, and Pop made the huge announcement. Again, you know, I don't think it had anything to do with him being an unprofessional on the roster or making waves. I just think this was just the best case scenario for everybody, for the team moving forward, for the young guys, for LaMarcus Aldridge, who was being relegated to a bench role. And you can tell in that last media session he did with us that he accepted it, but he didn't look too thrilled about it. You know, he did say that it's going to take some getting used to, and he kind of left it at that. But LMA, you think Spurs fans give him a round of applause? Well, the few Spurs fans that are allowed to go to the AT&T Center now, when he does make his way back to San Antonio, whether it be this season or, you know, next or whatever.
Yeah, I think he'll get a warmer.
I bring that up because we know how Spurs fans are with him, right?
Yeah, but as frosty as they've been with them in terms of on social media, like, the Spurs fans, I do believe, realize that this wasn't a Kawhi situation. This was something that both parties agreed on and realized it was in the best interest of both. And he did play hard and play well for here. And he did choose San Antonio when he hit free agency. I don't see any reason why he would get any kind of frosty reception. I would see nothing but cheers and adulation. I mean, Rockets fans cheered James Harden earlier this season when he returned to Houston.
Right.
And yeah, that should have left a much more sour taste in a lot of people's mouths.
When's the
way he forced his way out.
When's the trade deadline again? I know it was like March
25th.
So the Spurs got some time to get something done. Do you think this is going to be, if a deal is made, very fast, or I think it's going to take some time?
I don't know. With Woj's tweet about the amount of teams that they're engaged with, I could foresee this happening rather quickly.
I just hope the Spurs just are not in a situation where they're forced.
I just saw something stroll across Twitter that is probably going to make people lose their mind.
What is it?
Two future first round picks, LaMarcus Aldridge, Devin Vassell, and Lucas Samanich for Nikola
Vucevic. Nah, let's pump the brakes on that fan-made deal there. No, sir. That's a bad move. Yeah, you don't do that. But
hey, you get to keep Derek.
Well, what about Samanich, though? Well, that's for a whole other Locked On Spurs. I was going to ask you, James, before we put a wrap on this episode of this bonus pleasure episode of Locked On Spurs. At the end of the day, this was a move that needed to be made. Pop said it. We both talked about it. You know, are you shocked that it happened now? considering the team is playing well. They're going to make that second half push for the playoffs. They got a beast of a schedule. They're going to be down a guy right now. Are you shocked at the timing of it? Or do you think it was just one of those things where maybe over the break, they said, you know, we just got to do something. We got to do it now.
I'm not shocked. No, okay. Not at all. I think we, as far as fandom, really has been crying for this for years. And the writing's kind of on the wall, as we saw this kind of happen late towards last year when LaMarcus had to sit out all those games with the injury. And we started to see the team start to play better. And then we started to wonder about them going into the bubble. And then in the bubble, we saw them play well without him again. And then this year, like you said, 6 of 8 before the All-Star break without LaMarcus. I mean,
yeah,
that's kind of the writing on the wall that, okay, I've seen what I need to from this team. It looks markedly better, or at least plays markedly better, minus LaMarcus Aldridge right now. So I think the Spurs finally just doing what they've needed to do now for probably over a year.
One more question before I gotta go, before I let you go, and then I'll react to this too. Does this move accelerate the youth movement? Is this I know you mentioned it earlier that, you know, that they're going forward. But in a deal, if they do go that route, which it seems to be, there will be a trade made. What do the Spurs look for? Is it going to be a big for big situation? Like not straight up. I know in the package they'll have to have that. But does a big have to come with any deal with San Antonio? Or is it simply, we need wing guys, give me guards, give me your 3-point shooters? Like, how do you see this playing out, the type of trade the Spurs are going to look for?
I'm not looking for any position in general. I'm looking for a type of player, someone who can probably guard multiple positions. But, you know, if you're talking about sending him home to Portland, getting a contract that kind of matches his, not fully, but is close, you know, Robert Covington, a dude that can guard, you know, 2 to 5 and can spread the floor. You know, those are logical fits for the San Antonio Spurs. I think they're looking for much less a position and more of people that can play and guard multiple positions now.
Yeah, I'm of the camp of getting those multiple position guys. If, you know, I don't necessarily need a big, because you can have a big by committee right now
with Rudy Gay, who can play the 5, assuming he doesn't get traded. You've got Eubanks, you've got Lyles, you've got Poeltl. I mean, you've got enough bigs on the roster to where losing LaMarcus wouldn't affect that.
Yeah, and I'm saying that you can cobble in the aggregate what LaMarcus is giving you, probably in more. With the remaining bigs you have now, you have Poeltl with the defense and the offensive rebounding, the rim protection, and you got the offensive end with Trey Lyles, and we can do possibly Lucas Samanich if his trajectory is going in the positive way and providing some offense, and the defense that he does bring in the small sample size that we've seen out of Luka. And of course, Eubanks is just kind of the dirty work kind of guy there.
Yep.
But yeah, in any type of deal, I would rather see more wing players, you know, that those tweeners, that power forward, forward center kind of look to them, kind of like your Devin Vassell's, you know, he can play the 2, if he can play the 3, he can play the 4. I just want to see more positionless players coming in back. But now if it's a quality big like a Vucevic, okay, yeah, sure, put him in the package.
Yeah.
But if it's not that, then let's see what you got. You know, and regarding that,
truth be told, whatever you're getting back for LaMarcus Aldridge, I just want it to fit. I want it to fit what the plan is, because obviously LaMarcus didn't fit what they were transitioning to. So if you are getting a big, I hope he can space the floor, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You want those multifaceted, multi-position players back. And I think the Spurs will do that. And hopefully, yeah, good luck to LMA. Now, before we put a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs, a few details about what Pop said. Again, this was a mutual agreement. It wasn't the, well, at least according to Pop, it was mutually agreed upon that they're going to explore opportunities that best fit LMA. LMA is free to look for those other opportunities right now, even though technically he is a Spur until otherwise. And he will not be with the team physically on the roster or maybe in the practice moving forward. And yeah, until a deal is made, hopefully sooner than later, so the Spurs can just move forward, because this is going to be hovering over the Spurs right now. And you don't want this. If you're the Spurs, you don't want the constant questions day in and day out. What's going on with LMA? Has anything been done? You know, what's going on? They're going to want to band-aid this quick and rip it off and make a deal that best fits everybody. So expect something to happen pretty fast if you're a Spurs fan or just an NBA fan looking at what's going on with San Antonio and LaMarcus Aldridge. But yeah, Pledger, your final thoughts on the breaking news, LMA and Spurs parting ways.
Yeah. I mean, just thinking about you, you think about, you know, you mentioned the Heat, other possible locations. I mentioned the Celtics earlier. Of course, Portland makes sense. I could see the New York Knicks possibly making some kind of move for him. And who knows, maybe Frank Ntilikina and Alex Burks could be something that comes back in return for that. Like, I'm just trying in my mind to put at least something behind it. Cause all we know is we're eventually going to try and move on from him. That's all we know. So the first thing you have to do is start speculating is like, okay, where would he fit best? And what are teams that could not only interest him, but would have interest in him?
Yeah. And,
I think that's a pretty good amount. And on top of that, I'll throw in Dallas, who they're playing tonight, just because he's from Dallas.
And here's the thing too, you know, you're dealing with, I think the Heat, maybe not Myers Leonard. I'm just saying out there, there's, for those of y'all who do not know what's going on with Myers Leonard right now in Miami, well, you haven't been paying attention. Miami Heat probably be like, y'all want Myers Leonard? We can just yeah. Well, I don't know. We'll see. You know, I'm pretty sure Spurs fans will be all as forgiving Myers. You did that as a Heat player. You didn't do that as a
Spurs. The only asset coming back from Miami that I could get that on board with would be like Duncan Robinson.
Woo, that could happen. I could see that.
Because they're definitely not parting with Tyler Hero. And most of their other parts.
And Bam ain't going anywhere. Yeah, so, Bam ain't going anywhere.
You gotta look at what's the least desirable piece that they would want to part ways with, or the most desirable piece that you could possibly get in return. And my hope would be, send me Duncan Robinson.
You just want it for the name. You just want that name in a Spurs uniform.
The name is a perfect Spurs name, but his game also fits.
Yeah, exactly. As for me, you know, we'll be talking a lot more about LaMarcus Aldridge moving forward, his time ending in San Antonio and Locked On Spurs in future episodes.
What's your favorite LaMarcus Aldridge moment?
Oh, when he dropped 50-something on the Thunder and then DeMar DeRozan poured the water on him during the middle of his interview post on the center
court. Yeah.
I thought that was a good one. I like how he dominated in the postseason. I mentioned it against the Thunder. You know, he loved playing the Thunder. Something about seeing
He loved playing the Thunder.
Also, too, kind of what he represented, that attempt to bridge the gap right after the Big Three era, the Duncan era was ending. It was wrapping up already. He came on before Kawhi or in conjunction with Kawhi, or he came first. I don't remember who came. Kawhi had been here. He had been here. Okay.
It was right in the final, I want to say, 2 years of Duncan. So you still had Duncan, you still had Ginobili, you still had Parker, but it was trying to kind of build that bridge, knowing that all of them were soon to be out the door.
Yeah, and I think he helped stabilize the franchise during that point in time where they were already starting to transition. If he's not a Spur, I don't know if the Spurs remained in playoff contention. You had Kawhi, who was still young, and you know, maybe he blossoms early, but he was a stabilizing force for that bridge moment. And unfortunately, the NBA changed. He got older. Kawhi Leonard emerged. The youth movement, things just didn't stack in his favor in San Antonio. But Spurs fans, I'm pretty sure, will give him a nice round of applause, standing O maybe, when he does make his return to San Antonio. Well, we're done talking. We want to hear from you on this emergency episode of Locked On Spurs with the breaking news that the Marcus Aldridge and the Spurs have decided to mutually part ways. Where do you stand on this topic? What kind of deal do you want to see the Spurs make, and with who? James, how can they talk to you about their proposals, their trade proposals?
Oh, you can always follow me at I Am Pledger on Twitter and Instagram. Drop into my comments, or you can just tune into the Blitz weekdays 4 to 7. Call in 656-ESPN, 210-656-3776 on the Kielbasa Bacon phone lines, and that will get you in to talk about. I guarantee you it's going to dominate most of the show tomorrow, and especially on my show, the Saturday Morning Hangover. We're going to be talking a whole lot about it and what possible ways that this could end up, unless, you know, by then we have a deal and then we've got something to dissect.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, this will be a strong topic right here on Locked On Spurs. And subscribe to Locked On Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcast, whether it be iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, your smart speaker. Just say, hey, smart speaker, play Locked On Spurs. Boom, you get it. And we'll be following this LaMarcus Aldridge, the end of the LMA era in San Antonio, when it does become official and it is a wrap. So for James Pledger, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.